All right, welcome back to the Early Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, we've been talking about the war and all of those things, and I was looking at Politico this morning, and U.S. war aims shift in Ukraine and bring additional risk. And so it was talking about, this article was talking about the fact that now we have accepted that we are going to be helping to make sure that not just Ukraine, but
NATO?
NATO. That NATO is rearmed. And this is a big deal when we're talking about.
Well, that's what I was saying. You know, this is all part of the substantial increase in the military budget that's going to result from Ukraine, because we are, you know, and it's the American military-industrial complex that's going to profit from this, right? So Lockheed announces they're going to substantially increase their inventory of Javelin missiles because that inventory is being depleted rapidly by all the Javelins that we're sending to Ukraine.
And there's new, more state-of-the-art stuff that's out there.
Yes, yes. And they're creating a new, a more modern military apparatus that now the rest of NATO is going to want to acquire or need to acquire, because NATO has been rapidly depleting their military equipment.
Absolute
and in fact
stuff.
Well, and in fact there's been shortages created, because it turns out that this particularly ground to air defense system is something that the military doesn't carry such a very big inventory of, because NATO has always counted on having air superiority. And so when there's air superiority, they don't need to have a great deal of their own ground-to-air missile systems in inventory. But Ukraine does. So they've taken much of their own existing stock of ground-to-air defense and sent it to Ukraine, which means now they don't have it, and they're going to have to increase their inventory of it materially. So there's going to be a significant burst of production coming from American munition suppliers that is created by all of this. So it's not like there isn't a great deal of prosperity being created within America, within the American munition system, by this war in Ukraine. And this money that we're sending to Ukraine is much of it coming back, and will be coming back to America, just as the Lend-Lease money that we sent to Europe during World War II did, to build up the capacity we have for manufacturing the very things that they need to buy to carry out the war that's going on.
But Sandy, at the time, recession is in place and businesses.
Well, you know, the economists would argue that expenditures for war help fight against a recession because they create jobs that will. But during a time of inflation, in particular, it's very inflationary to have deficit expenditures used to support a great deal of government purchases of goods and services. So that's inflationary. And the Republicans, particularly, are criticizing Biden for trying to propose social programs in the United States that cause government expenditures to be sent to into the workforce of America, which they say is inflationary. But of course, all of this military industrial expenditure is also very inflationary. Now, as for a recession and what should be done during a time of recession, it's very much of a sort of a Reagan trickle-down. In fact, it's kind of a different version of Reagan trickle-down to think that you should spend money on munitions to trickle down into solving the recessionary problem for the people of America. It doesn't work.
But trickle down never worked.
It doesn't work, and it would work less effectively if you concentrate it in an industry like
military. So I can only go by, you know, my years and my life experience and what took place in the industry that I was in when recessions and interest rates and those things came. It meant we would be out of work. And so many other industries will be out of work, while at the same time, this industry is exploding. But does that do anything to help the people who are going to be out of work?
Well, you know, the first problem we've got is inflation.
Right.
And inflation, which is what, and then the fight against inflation is what's likely to create the recession. And we're likely to go from a very tight employment market into layoffs and firings that would be the result of the medicine for inflation. It's a little ways off in the future. I mean, what's going to happen first is the fight against inflation is going to increase the cost of things, just like the gasoline we were talking about, and it's going to increase the cost of things like at the grocery store. Both the grocery store and the gasoline price increases can be laid to some extent at the feet of the Ukrainian problem, because that has caused a shortage of gasoline and a shortage of food in the United States and in the world. But the fight against inflation, the increasing of interest rates generally, is going to make it harder to buy homes. It's going to make it more expensive to buy cars.
You already see it.
It's going to be more expensive. In fact, in a number of marketplaces across the country, home marketplaces, there have been an increasing number of price decreases in the asking price for houses during the last month. So clearly the increase in the mortgage rate is going to begin to put a damper on this run-up of housing costs. Now, putting a damper on the run-up of housing costs should be good for the people generally who don't own houses or who are looking for housing. So it's hard to cry too hard about that impact.
Right.
But it's going to have an impact ultimately in taking money out of the pockets of people who need money.
So let's go back to, you know, the fact that the Biden administration in recent days has made plain its commitment to support Ukraine and bolster Eastern European allies for the long haul, and the decision to deploy 20,000 additional U.S. troops in response to the conflict, and possibly more in the weeks and months to come, has the potential to drastically alter the U.S. military footprint across Europe for decades to come. That's even more resources that are going to be coming out of this nation.
Yeah, and incidentally.
And long term.
Yes. And incidentally, you know, the Biden administration and Obama before him talked about trying to make a pivot to Asia so that we would focus more of our interest and approach on Asia because of the view that China was the emerging power and was a problem. Now, I've criticized the notion that we should start vilifying China simply because of their economic growth and the great potential they have to become a very dominant economic influence in the world. So I'm not for a pivot to Asia that creates a great deal more military expenditure in order to focus on China. But incidentally, what we're doing in Eastern Europe and with Ukraine is making it almost impossible to pivot to China, to focus more on China. And everyone who looks at this, every world analyst who looks at the current world situation, says there's one country that's going to come out of this whole Ukrainian problem better off. And who is that country?
Ukraine.
China.
Oh.
China standing on the sideline. China
is right.
China's having a bit of a recession, but the United States is beginning to step in quicksand in Eastern Europe and in the position it's taking with respect to Russia, because it's deciding to create an enemy circumstance and to recreate an Iron Curtain and a Cold War that's focused on Russia. China's walking a very careful tightrope, and China's going to come out of this with a stronger yuan. We've weaponized the dollar. We've shown the rest of the world that we are capable of weaponizing the dollar, which probably has the long-term consequence of potentially damaging the dollar as the world currency.
All right, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Ms. Tanya Atkinson, CEO of Planned Parenthood, and Sarah Noble. You're tuned into The Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.